Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
So here are some of the headlines of life under this Democrat, socialist, Islamist government. IRS to pay back refunds to illegal immigrants who didn't pay taxes. IRS so-called Commissioner John Koskinen, you know who that one is, told Congress on Wednesday that even illegal immigrants who didn't pay taxes will be able to claim back refunds once they get Social Security numbers. Isn't that nice? So when Obama grants amnesty to the millions of illegal aliens who don't belong in our country under any circumstance, they'll be given a check. They'll give you a check and a voting rights pass to make certain that we have a socialist government for the rest of your children's and grandchildren's lives. Meanwhile, in France, as a result of multiculturalism and open borders, a startup Muslim party eyes local ballots to make its name in France. Isn't that charming? It will no longer be liberté, equalité, fraternité if the Muslims seek their takeover of France come to fruition. It will no longer be liberté, equalité, and fraternité. It will be something different, and I'll let you use the French words that are appropriate. Let's see. He said Islam was completely compatible with democratic values. Really? What part of Islam is completely comparable with democratic values? Can anyone listening to this program tell me which Muslim country is compatible with democratic values? I don't know of any. Here's another little story. I can't help it. It's in the news. Number of Muslim children in Britain doubles in a decade. And that's because girls only want to have fun and the boys only want to get drunk. I mean the white people. The number of children growing up as Muslims in the UK has almost doubled in a decade. Unprecedented shift in Britain's social makeup. Really? And you mean the way Obama's changing the demographics of America don't concern you? That was soon going to look like Honduras or, let's say, Mexico? You say, well, what's wrong with that? I don't know. Why don't you move to Honduras and Mexico and tell me? Intel officials admit some American ISIS fighters may have returned to the United States undetected. How's that for intelligence, boys and girls? Intel officials admit that some American ISIS fighters may have returned to the United States undetected. How's that for an intelligence community? Busy watching those nasty conservative Christians, huh? Here's another one about the socialist Pope. Tucson Bishop expects Pope Francis to prod Congress on amnesty bill. So here we have again a Pope who is not a religious figure, but a political figure, trying to manipulate a foreign nation. After all, we didn't elect a Pope in America. We don't have a Pope in America. It's not a papal state. You hear this? When Representative Luis Gutierrez, that's the reptilian, when asked what he thought Pope Francis will say on immigration when he addresses Congress in September, he said he believes Pope Francis will prod Congress to move forward with courage and conviction with a comprehensive amnesty bill that includes a pathway to citizenship, blah, blah, blah. More legal ways for people to come here, blah, blah, blah. Provisions for reuniting families, blah, blah, blah. And helping those sending companies, what? And helping the sending countries so migrants who do not want to leave their home can remain, meaning we should send more money to Honduras and Mexico? How's that for the Pope? I'm not asking you what you think of it. I know what I think of it. But I'm an old believer in the separation of church and state. Here are some questions for the Savage Nation. Are you worried about how vague Obama's war proposal was? Do you think 3 years is going to be enough to stop ISIS with how Obama is planning on fighting them? What a loaded question that is, huh? Why are most in the media attacking Netanyahu? Why are Jewish congressmen and senators attacking Netanyahu? Let's see what else. Oh, there's good news. Ceasefire in Ukraine. I don't believe it's going to hold. I don't believe it's going to hold at all. I think it's just a temporary stop in the heavy artillery. But, you know, it's a standard tactic here. This is not going to work. Vladimir Putin says the leaders agree on deal for Ukraine ceasefire. Thank God McCain and Albright, the warmongers, the war criminals, weren't able to trigger World War III quite yet. Thank God Madeleine Albright, who tried to start a war with Russia. Listen to this lunatic. This psychotic destroyed America when she was Secretary of State in her bombing campaign against Serbia in order to detach Kosovo from Serbia, a part of Serbia since the 1300s. Now this meddlesome lobbyist for China has the nerve to fly back every time there's a war or rumors of war to see if she can make some money off it. Listen to clip 17.
I hope that the president, as he reviews all these issues, does see the value of letting the Ukrainians defend themselves. But I also understand the difficulty of making the decision because the Russians are clearly...
shut up, you yenta, you. How did a yenta like you ever move up in politics? A brisket from you would have been the most you should have produced in your lifetime, Madam Albright. You should have stayed in Georgetown and made your brisket and practiced your briskets and pastrami's. Here's a woman who was picked, I think, by Clinton to be Secretary of State. She went to war with Serbia to steal Kosovo from the Serbs. Now she wants a war with Russia, the brisket maker. But where does she speak? Where does she get to expound her hatred and her war criminality? Where? MSNBC. Why has the Microsoft NBC... Remember, MSNBC means Microsoft NBC. Why, you keep saying, why does NBC permit this kind of psychosis to seep out of the vampire's mouths? Sharpton, why is he still on the air when they dumped this guy Williams? Why didn't they throw Sharpton off for the tax evasion and the lies? You have to ask yourself why. Now, why does Microsoft under Bill Gates permit this to go on? You say he has no direct control. Like heck he doesn't. It reflects on Microsoft to let Al Sharpton continue to spew his madness and hatred. It reflects on Al Sharpton, on Bill Gates. I confuse Bill Gates with Microsoft. I don't know why. He does run it. That's right. He does run it. Here's some breaking news. Senate confirms Ashton Carter as next Defense Department Secretary. You say, well, who's he? Let's put it to you this way. More of the same. If you liked a shrunken military, if you liked the destruction of our most offensive weapons, if you liked our nuclear stockpile being torn apart, if you liked the movement of women who are incompetent to the highest levels of the military, if you liked women who can't fly running the Air Force, if you like women who can't drive a rowboat running the Navy, then you're just going to love Ashton Carter. Let's see what else is in the news. Philadelphia to host Democratic National Convention. I can't wait to see the number of rapes and robberies that occur amongst the delegates as they wander around drunk in the streets of Philadelphia as a result of their liberal policies. But, okay, what else? Phone number 855-407-2822. I could say it's a slow news day, but it's never a slow news day when you have a Democrat, socialist, Islamist government. You have to keep your eyes open, you know, because we're on the road to becoming South Africa at a slow level. Oh, yeah. Every day it seems more and more like the prelude to what happened in South Africa. The taking away of rights to a certain group of people, or from a certain group of people. Restriction on certain movements. Spying on certain segments of the population. The only thing missing is the seizure of property under this Democrat, socialist, Islamist government. Again, the phone number is 855-407-2822. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. Let's go to the callers when I call your number. You give me your name, your station, your topic, okay? Let's go right to line number 3. Go ahead, please.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Savage. I want to talk about Congress attacking talk radio. Last week, the Senate Judiciary Committee had a hearing on immigration, and one of the panelists appeared on a talk radio show and was blasted by Sheila Jackson Lee, Steve Cohen, and one other congressman from New York. Now, the issue is that they're going after you. They're not letting you fly to England. They're going after other talk radio shows. Who's next?
Let's back up. It was not the U.S. Congress that banned me from entering the United Kingdom. It was the socialist regime that preceded the current regime in England that banned me from entering England based upon statements I actually didn't make. And when we sued the government, we found out that they banned Michael Savage in order to, quote, balance their list of banned individuals. In other words, they banned the horrible killers like the Muslim murderers who want to kill the queen and take over the country. But they didn't want to make all Muslims feel bad. So they chose Michael Savage, American conservative, to add him to the list to balance the list. But it wasn't Congress that did it. On the other hand, it wasn't Congress that stood up and said, hey, wait a minute, you can't do that to one of our own. Savage may not be liked by you, but he's done nothing wrong. But they banned me basically for blasphemy in England.
Right, they banned, right.
All right, well, anyway, I don't want to talk about me being banned in England. I don't really care about England. What would I miss? Let's say they say, oh, the ban is lifted. What would I go over there for, the food and dental care? I go to England for medical care, dental work, and the food? Why would I go there? I mean, I like the British people. I always have. But the thing is, you know, there's no England anymore. I like the 18th century architecture in Bath, England. I once had a publisher who published one of my books who lived in Bath. I visited Bath. I've always loved the Kew Botanic Gardens, where my world-famous collections reside, among seven other herbaria in the world. There are things I love about England. I like the way the people just have a certain spirit. But the government of England, it's a supine government. Here are some of the topics that we talked about yesterday on The Savage Nation, if you missed it. I had a dream of Obama, which I can't repeat. I talked about militant brownies, my trip to L.A. that's coming up, which I think I just canceled, not solely because I don't want to go on Southwest Airlines, but because I don't even want to go. In other words, I'm miserable here in San Francisco, and I think I'm going to be happier there, but every time I get there, I'm not happier there. And it reminds me of, why do I go anywhere? I'm the same person wherever I go, so what's the point of traveling? Travel is supposed to make you feel better, or at least make you think you're going to be happier. Is anyone really happy being frisked by people at the airports you've avoided all your life? Does anyone feel better stripping naked, proving once again that the Osama bin Laden actually won? I thought about that this morning. The radical Muslims have already won most of their battle. They've turned America into a prison camp. They've bankrupted the nation because of the creation of the Department of Homeland Security, which does nothing to protect us, that I can tell, and instead spies on the American people to make sure the government is safe to continue fleecing us. Now think about what I just said to you. It's really not crazy. I then talked about Jews in America silent on the attacks on Israel. Blasphemy, what it means. I read the opening of Stop the Coming Civil War. Obama attacking Israel, the fight with Russia, war and rumors of war, good cognac, kosher food laws, vitamins, Jews being driven out of Europe to an unprecedented low level. Madeleine Albright, a war criminal. Netanyahu's challenges, hypocritical lawyers, and Pelosi lunacy. That was yesterday's 3 hours in the Savage Nation. If you care to comment on any of those topics, I pity you. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. You know, I've been studying the lost world of the Vikings, because they once were dominant warriors, and then they disappeared. I mean, there are remnants of Viking peoples in the nations of Scandinavia, but are they Vikings when they've been overrun by barbaric hordes that they took in for God knows what reason? The barbaric hordes they took in under the guise of multiculturalism and liberalism are fundamentally driving them out of their own countries. And if you read, the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle, which is an ancient text in translation. Here's what you'll read. Anglo-Saxon Chronicle, the end of the world. In this year, there were immense flashes of lightning and fiery dragons in the air. And a little after that, the raiding of heathen men destroyed God's church in Lindisfarne. Anglo-Saxon Chronicle. On June 7th, 793 AD, a group of violent criminals landed on the holy isle of Lindisfarne off the northwest coast of Britain. Without warning, they attacked the monastery, snatching priceless Christian artifacts for their value in precious metals. They killed some of the monks. They took some monks away as slaves. Many they drove out naked and loaded with insults, and some they drowned in the sea. Heathen men destroyed God's church. And news spread throughout the Christian world. Christian world was shocked beyond belief, because nobody could have dreamed of attacking a church or a monastery. It would have been thought of as a hellish crime. But now, suddenly, fear reigned in England. No coastal community could regard itself as safe. Even as far south as what is now in Germany, the terrified Anglo-Saxon monk Alcuin summed up the terror of the Christian community, which had believed itself to be safe from harm. Listen what he wrote. It is some 350 years that we and our forefathers have inhabited this lovely land, and never before in Britain has such a terror appeared as this we have now suffered at the hands of the heathen. Nor was it thought possible that such an inroad from the sea could be made. You hear? So then this German wrote that this was not merely an act of vicious criminals, but a sign predicted in the Bible of the approaching end of the world. And he cites Jeremiah, where he says, "Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land." And for the next 200 years, Europe shivered in fear at the approach of the terrifying men from the north, soon known by their more famous name, the Vikings. And so if you look at the history of empires, nations, they come and they go. Our nation is now being broken. Our nation is being invaded. And we have an enabler in the White House who is acting as a catalyst to speed this process of destruction of this once great nation. This is something that is beyond me, that every intelligent person doesn't see who Hussein is.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Can anyone listening to this program tell me that England has not been invaded by Islam and by Muslims? Look at the birth rate in England right now. Look at the name Muhammad amongst infants. How did this happen? How did a once proud nation permit itself to be overrun like this? Well, we don't care that much about England, do we? So let's ask ourselves, how did a once proud nation called the United States of America permit itself to be invaded by a Democrat, socialist, Islamist government? Even if you look at Obama's tepid little announcement yesterday that he's going to go to war against ISIS and we're going to win, you understand it's just a fake. It's a feign. He's not really going to go to war against them, because the fact is that he could wipe them off the planet in about 3 days, according to anyone in the military who knows military affairs. He doesn't intend to eliminate ISIS. His hand was finally forced to protect the Democrat Party, period. They have an election coming up, and they want to make sure that the harridan Hillary Clinton becomes president. After all, she's so qualified. Look at the great work she did as Secretary of State. Great work in Benghazi. Great work in steaming up the Arab world and in uniting them in their hatred of the West. Great work in calling Putin Hitler. Terrific Secretary of State. You just imagine what she'll be like as president. So, in other words, to get a historic comparison, I go back to history. I'm not saying it's a direct comparison, but I'm looking at the history of the Vikings and how they came out of nowhere and these raiding parties attacked England and stole the treasures of the holy churches, killed the brothers, took other monks hostage as slaves, drove some of the monks into the seas. And the Vikings scared the life out of the Anglo-Saxons. They had been there for 350 years, and they weren't ever attacked like this. They don't know where these warlike people came from. And where'd they come from? Where did the surprise attack come from? Never before in the history of the world have the demographics of a nation been changed without a war and conquest. Let me repeat that for those of you who are ignorant of your own history. What is going on in front of your eyes right now is the most radical change of demographics this nation has ever seen. And never before in the history of the world have the demographics of a nation been so rapidly altered without a war having been fought and lost and the invaders populating the nation. So let's speed up the history. They came and they conquered the Vikings, and then they disappeared from history soon after 1066. But where did they go? Where did these Viking raiders go? There were 200,000 of them who left Scandinavia during the Viking Age, who became the raiders, the Viking raiders, that caused all of the trouble for the Christian world. But where did they go? Well, it's an interesting story. They settled the territories they had once terrorized. They became farmers. They married local women. And they had children that grew up speaking the local language. And within only a few generations, most children of the Vikings identified themselves as English, Normans, or Russians, but not as Vikings. When you see blue eyes and blonde hair, understand there's probably Viking blood. You understand that? Check it out. And the Vikings then became nominally Christians. And instead of attacking the church, they became the warriors who defended the church. The Vikings then were transformed into crusaders, follow the bouncing ball. And they were no longer aggressive against Christianity, but they were now the crusaders against the enemies of Christianity. And some Scandinavians, they were former warrior stock, became Jerusalem farers, fighting in the Holy Land. But many of these men took part in the Baltic Crusades, which were military operations against areas of what is now Poland, Latvia, and Lithuania. But let's not get off the track. Where are the Vikings today? Well, their descendants still exist today. Genetic surveys and analysis still see heavy concentrations of Norwegian genes in the north of England, Scotland, and the Scottish Isles. Did you know the royal families of Europe, including the rulers of England and Norway, still count the likes of Harald the Ruthless and Olaf the Stout among their ancestors? It sounds very romantic, doesn't it? But what about America? Do we have Vikings amongst us? Yes, we certainly do. Toward the end of the 19th century, emigrants were leaving Scandinavia for the New World, and many of them settled in the northern United States because the northern United States, particularly Minnesota, reminded them of home. The lakes and the forests of Minnesota appealed to many of Swedish or Norwegian origin. And that's an interesting point. And you should know that. Scandinavians began to develop a sense of pride, not in being the descendants of various Norwegians, Swedes, Danes, and Finns, but in being connected to the Vikings. Did you know that? So where did they go? Well, there's a Viking spirit still left amongst American people. There was much more to the medieval Scandinavian achievement than mere raids and murders. They had a great spirit of exploration, the Vikings did. Did you know that the Bering Strait between Alaska and Siberia bears the name of a Danish-Swedish explorer named Vitus Bering? And did you know that Aldrin Crater on the Moon bears the Swedish surname of the pilot of the Eagle lander, Edwin Buzz Aldrin? So the Vikings still exist amongst us genetically. The genetic remnants of this warrior people still exist. And yet they seem to be amongst the most liberal of our subpopulations. Isn't that strange? They bring in Somali refugees into their cities, and the next thing they wake up to is the Somali community is demanding immersion in Somali culture and language. They leave a hellhole, and the first thing they want is to recreate the hellhole in Minnesota. Why is that? Why didn't they want to become Americans? How is that possible? Why would the Viking peoples, the descendants, be so liberal? How is that possible? Where's the warrior spirit left in America? It exists, of course. We see movies such as The Last Survivor, American Sniper, and we understand that we still have warriors of all races in this country. And don't discount the Hispanic warriors, by the way, while you're doing so. Don't think I'm just glorifying blonde-haired, blue-eyed men. Not at all. I'm telling you that there's a warrior spirit in this country that is quite amazing, but there's something wrong with the picture. Why has the warrior spirit of America not stood up to what this man is doing to this country? Why has the warrior spirit not arisen in this country to stand up and say, enough is enough, we're not going to permit you to flood America with 30 million undesirables from south of the border, and I will say it again, they are the undesirables of Mexico, Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador. Why else do you think those countries are so happy to get rid of them? They are the least productive members of their own countries. That's why they're pushing them into our country. So how can a country survive? By taking in people who are not productive. How? Tell me how. So if you look ahead, this country cannot survive unless immigration is stopped completely. And unless there's a national dialogue of, do we need more immigrants? What should their education level be? What should their financial requirements be? What should their health requirements be for immigrants? What sane nation on earth permits itself to be overrun by people who are either impoverished, can't work, illiterate in their own language? Who lets that happen? Certainly not a nation of descendants of the Vikings or of warriors of other races. How did this happen? Why are we all so frightened to say a word? Well, some of us do. Some of us do at great risk to our own personal sanity and safety. And we do it on a daily basis, hoping to encourage you to speak out and stand up to the radical Islamist communist left that is destroying this country. It will never, ever survive if this is not stopped. Now, we had an election in November. We said put a stop to this. We said no, no more to this insanity. We don't want MSNBC running America. We said no to this psychotic in the White House. We said get rid of the psychotic in the White House. His policies are destroying us. Is that not what you went to vote for? You know, we saw not only the king has no clothes, we saw the king may not even be the king of this country. We saw the King Hussein Obama is not acting in the best interest of America. This shady man may be out to destroy us, many of us think. And we're not all crazy. Let's say there's 30 million of us who think that way. Laugh if you will. Marginalize us if you will. Tell us we're all crazy if you will. Go ahead. Keep doing it. But every intelligent man and woman I have ever met in the last 6 years knows that this man is not acting in the best interests of America, nor is the Democrat, socialist, Islamist machine. They're acting as though they have, as though a foreign government has erected itself in our Congress and is acting against the interests of the American people and of the nation itself. So we went to the polls in November and we put in another party. We knew that we're going to have to fight with Boehner. I told you in November that you're going to have to hold your nose and go and vote Republican. Remember I said that to you in October and November? I implored you to go and vote. I take some responsibility for the Republican victory, but I also accept some of the blame for the inactivity of Boehner and McConnell. I told you that come January, the fight will begin. Remember when I published Stop the Coming Civil War? My intent was to stop the coming civil war. Do you remember what I said? This man is pushing us to a civil war. Every word out of his mouth is an attack on something sacred to this country. And it's only gotten worse in the last few weeks. Last week it was attacking Christians for acts in the 1300s. Crusades. Jesus himself. Christianity attacked. This week it was spitting on Jews. When he wouldn't say the word Jewish. Jewish deli. Muslims attacking Jews. Again, spitting on Christians, spitting on Jews. Why? And soft-peddling Islam's invasions. Why is that? No, you can't put two and two together, right? You're that brainwashed? So we elected the Republicans, but they're not doing the job we elected them to do. So now our work begins. Remember I told you our work would begin in January? Well, it's February. We're 6 weeks late. The first hearing that should have been held should have been an investigation of Dianne Feinstein and what her links are to what entities as to why she would have outed the CIA and attacked them and destroyed our intelligence community. Why did she do that? Why? Why would they let her get away with this? Why is she walking around like she's above the law, that she's above suspicion? She's above questions about her business dealings. Why? Why is there a silence about her, for example? Senate Intelligence Committee, Dianne Feinstein, you must be joking. This woman, the contracts that people have been talking about for 20 years, the subterranean contracts that people have been buzzing about in San Francisco and L.A. for 20 years, not investigated by the Republicans. Why? Because their hands are dirty, too. Because if you start to investigate Dianne Feinstein's dealings, you have to investigate the dealings of the Republicans as well. And there's an old saying that when the Republicans and Democrats get along, you can be sure of one thing, they're screwing the American people. And that's why they're getting along. Because they've never had it so good. They're robbing us blind, raising taxes, increasing regulation to an extent that the country has never seen before. It cannot survive. So let's talk about fiscal and economics. Let's go away from the esoterics of the Vikings and descendants and genetics and warrior class. I know many of you are invigorated right now by this little conversation we're having about invasion. It's a pretty good one, right? So now let's talk about economics. Let's make it a fiscal discussion. Why is it that this country is running on debt? How can it keep running on debt? How did it become a nation which used to have a balanced budget? And every time a budget was out of balance, it was a news story. The monthly debt is this, the monthly debt is that. It went down, it went up. It used to be a story, right? And remember as near as a few years ago before this invader took over this country, debt was an issue? How has debt not become an issue? How can this Hussein keep running up debt like this into the trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars? How is it possible? How can a nation be so drunk on its pleasures and its distractions that it does not see the insanity of such a system? It cannot sustain. If you actually analyze the true inflation in this country, do you think it would be 0.5% or 0.1% the amount of money your banks are paying you as interest? Now, why do the banks not pay interest? Artificial. It's artificial. Why shouldn't they pay you interest? Who is Janet Yenta? Yeltsin. Where did this one come from? This bagel maker from Bedford Stuyvesant. Who's Janet Yeltsin? So some left-wing professor they picked to run the Fed? Who is she? Another stooge, that's all. Another stooge of Wall Street. That's who she is. So the question is, how long can this go on? Nobody knows till it blows. Everyone senses that there's going to be a financial explosion, that the dollar will collapse. This is very much like Weimar Germany. Weimar Germany, early 20s, runaway inflation, hidden by the government, but eventually you needed to take a wheelbarrow full of paper money to buy a loaf of bread. Now, of course, we're nowhere near that right now. I understand that. But you know and I know things have gone up, haven't they? Except for one thing. What was that? The cost of food has gone way through the roof. Look at the cost of meat. Look at the cost of milk. Look at the cost of virtually everything you're buying. And now look at the cost of fuel, gasoline. It's gone way down. How did that happen? Again, driven down. Artificially driven down to boost the Democrat, Socialist, Islamist machine. They drove it down to break Russia. They drove it down to fake the American people into thinking there was no runaway inflation. But as sure as I'm standing here, I can guarantee you by the time the summer comes, you will see gasoline at the old prices all over again. And one last note that I pointed out in two of my books ago. Two books ago, I forget the name. It was either the Poverty or Tyranny book. A strange thing happened. When they were looking at inflation, they took out two factors. They eliminated the cost of two things to make sure that you never really knew what the actual rate of inflation was. And whoever remembers that from my poverty book will win a prize today. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. I have less than 50 seconds left. I got really worked up on the Vikings, the invasion of England, how they took over a country. We talked about the invasion of America right now with the enabler in the White House or the outright leader of the invasion. It's hard to say what is what here, and how no nation on earth has had its demographics change this rapidly unless they had lost the war and then the conquerors had populated the nation. And I asked where the warriors are in America. Where is the vigorous American? What happened to us? Are we this drugged? Are we this distracted? Are we this beaten up? Are we this frightened of the government that we sit quietly and say very little? We go and vote and this character then spits on us the next day and says, you know what? So what? What do I care what the vote says? I'm me. How is this possible?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture, And here he is, Michael Savage.
I think we used to sing this in the elementary school I went to in the Bronx, if you can believe this. I seem to remember it. Is it still permitted to be played? In the New World Order of Barack Hussein and St. Obama. I don't know what's patriotic and what's considered racist. I guess we'll have to refer it to Al Sharpton for the final verdict, since he has such a high education. We'll get the gutter view, since the gutter view seems to be the prevailing view of the government. We'll have to look at the gutter view of everything to see what it actually is. So I ended up in the last hour, I drifted into a discussion of the Vikings and where they came from, how they plundered England, where'd they go when they were through it, you know, hundreds of years later, where are they today? And we talked about the Viking blood that runs in the veins of many Americans. We talked about other warrior peoples in America and their blood. And I asked, how could this country be putting up with what this administration is doing to us? How does it not rise up and demand impeachment to put a stop to it? How does it elect an alternate party like the Republicans saying we want nothing to do with socialism, we're not Europe, we don't want to go that way, we don't want the influx that is crippling Europe to cripple us, and yet it's the same story all over again? Which goes to what I wrote in 1994, beware the government media, 1994, I said it's a one-party system, an oligarchy, two-card Monty, it's actually three-card Monty, and you shift the cards around, it's the same end no matter what you do. We elect the Republicans, and what did we get? Tell me what we got. They just put in a new defense secretary because the last one destroyed the military, weakened the military, almost to the point of dysfunctional military because of liberal policies. Okay? So we wanted something new. So who did they just approve today? Who? A stooge of the same administration is now going to run the Defense Department. No change. There's been no vigorous change. New Attorney General. We wanted Eric Holder and his criminality and his anti-Americanism gone. Who did they just approve or about to approve? Eric Holder in a skirt. So, in other words, there's an oligarchy playing a game with us, and the outcome is, as I'm sitting here, there's no election coming in 2016. It's a gigantic, bald lie, which is why the Republicans have already thrown the election. It's why Hillary is silent. She knows if she stuck her head up out of the ground right now, like a Groundhog Day, everybody would jump on her for Benghazi and everything else that we're all talking about. The failures in the Middle East, being driven out of Yemen, it's all her fault, all her doing. We're running out of the Middle East. The attacks on Israel, she had nothing to say about Netanyahu. Nothing to say about the attacks in Paris. Nothing. Where is she? Why is she silent? Why has her campaign told her to be invisible? Because the individuals who are running this country from afar have determined it's better for her to go dead silent. But let's go back to fiscal issues, because this is too much for most people to deal with. You know, I wake up every day, I got to tell you what goes through my head. I ask myself, does the average person really care this much about politics? The answer is no. I mean, I see ordinary people. They have lives. They go about their lives. You see women with their children, guys driving to work. Who do they really care about politics? They have an attitude of not that they're stupid. They figure, what can they do about it? They had the election. We voted. Nothing happens. They figure, who cares anymore? So when you realize that, and then you become obsessive with politics, as I am, and then you start drilling down deeper and deeper and deeper into the bedrock of what's going on, you're only talking to a small audience of people. You who are listening to me are a small audience of people. You are not the mainstream. The mainstream is looking at a woman with a surgical face and a surgical behind dating a street thug. Every day they're in the newspaper. Nobody knows why, because they're appealing to your neighbor. No one knows who they are, why they're in the newspaper. Or a former Olympian who's cutting off his male parts to become a woman who causes an accident in Southern California and kills somebody, and the next day he's seen talking on a cell phone and he doesn't get arrested. That's what people are really talking about. Or a newsman in New York, poor guy, Bob Simon, car crash. You see that Lincoln Town Car? My God, I used to think Lincoln Town Cars were built well. The car was ripped in half. Well, first of all, you know, the livery drivers. I would never get in a car with a livery driver in New York. I mean, if you like driving in Somalia, in a back alley in Somalia, running away from someone with an RPG, you'll just enjoy being driven by a livery driver in Manhattan. And he was sitting in the front seat without a seatbelt. You know, who drives in a car without a seatbelt when there's a livery driver who's speeding down the road, lurching left to right? But the point is, poor guy is dead, car broken in half. Now we have a nation broken in half. Again, back to politics, but you're not interested in it. I know that I got your attention talking about car, livery driver, car broken in half. I know I had your attention for a second as you were scanning the dial when I talked about a woman with a surgical face and a surgical behind married to a street thug who's in the newspapers every day. Then I got your attention. The minute I say political, over. The minute you hear anyone bashing Obama, radio's changed. It's not that you think he's a great guy. You know he's a fraud. You know he's a fraud, doesn't know what he's doing, faking it every day of his life with a booming voice and gets up and says nothing every day. A pure BS artist. A con man, in other words. But you say, so what? Well, what's new about that? They'll say, well, what about Bush? He wasn't a con man? Now go back to the next one. He wasn't a con man? They'll go all the way back in history. They'll tell you Jefferson kept slaves and Washington had false teeth. So they say, who cares? What are you going to do about it? It's the system we have, and somehow it clunks along. Somehow America clunks along, and we've always survived. Well, that has been true. But are you telling me that when you flood America with 50 million illegal aliens and their children, that our borders, language, and culture are going to survive one more generation? No, this is different. This is a watershed moment in the history of this republic, and if you don't join the fight against the devils who are trying to destroy this country, then you're part of the problem, not part of the solution. That's the basic story of my show every day. Shakespeare wrote it best when he said, when he wrote, rather, I never met Shakespeare personally, but I've read his writings. Shakespeare wrote the following. He said, hell is empty, all the devils are here. I thought that was very well put. And then we were talking about the financial nightmare of this country and what we're facing. Again, you say, what can I do about it? I'm an ordinary person. I'm in a car, Mike. I'm listening to you. What can I do? I go to work. I pay my taxes. I keep myself, you know, on the straight and narrow. I try to raise my family the best I can. What do you want from me? And that's why you like when I go into the family stories or I wax nostalgic about my growing up in New York, working for my dad, an immigrant. And you love those stories because it relaxes you. And in that sense, I like it too. I never thought about borders and language and culture when I was 10 years old. Who thought about such things? I grew up in a country. I knew what the country was. I knew immigrant communities because I grew up in one. I knew many of them in the immigrant community never spoke a word of English, just like many of them don't speak here. And I knew many of those in the immigrant community went to stores that had foreign language signs on their stores. So it doesn't bother me. I mean, I go to Chinatown, so what? I'm offended because the language is in Mandarin? Or such, what do I care? That's their language, let them enjoy it. What do I care? It didn't bother me. So it never was an issue for me. In that sense, I didn't grow up like some a guy lived somewhere who said, America should do this, it should only be English. That's not how I grew up. I grew up in a melting pot. Because ultimately, the children of those individuals in those ethnic communities all wanted to be American, and they did become so. They became a member of the melting pot. They became Americans for better or for worse. But that's not what's going on today. So what am I going to do, complain about it? What can you do about it? So therefore, it leaves me in a quandary as a talk radio host. I got to be honest with you. If I'm going to get up here every day and only talk about the disaster that this con man is, the damage this con man is doing to the country, the deceit and lies coming out of the mouths of Pelosi, Feinstein, Leahy, you name them, you're not going to listen to this very long. You're going to get sick of it. You can't all, even though you say, you know, I know you're right, I don't want to hear it anymore. I get it. Trust me, I get it. So every morning I get up, I say, well, what am I going to talk about today? So I go to the news, I go to the websites. I go to the Drudge Report. I go to my website. I go to WorldNet Daily. I go to Newsmax. I go to the other sites. I got three guys in three different places racking their brains every morning trying to please me. And they know they pick stories and never use them. It's like it's like all their work is thrown out because I can't take it any more than you can. You think about this. I wake up 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. I go right to the computer. And poor old Robert sent me news headlines of the day. And poor old Jim has sent me suggested sound for the day. I'm afraid to open it. I don't think my poor brain can take another morning like this. I feel my brain is fried about the lies and deceit that it's been looking at. I mean, I am hurting from this, to be honest with you. Everywhere I turn, I see either incompetence or treachery. I see nothing but incompetence or treachery coming out of this government. So what can I do about it? If I can't do anything about it, I'm not an elected official. And what if I were? What if Michael Savage had decided to leave radio last year, run for Congress, and he won somewhere? And what would I be, one of several hundred of poor young guys and young women who love this country, who were elected? And the first thing that happened to them was Boehner and McConnell put them in the back of the bus. He made them second-class citizens. You remember what Boehner did to them? Do you remember during the State of the Union address, you couldn't see them? They were not in the front of the Republican audience. They were put in the back of the bus so you wouldn't see them frowning while Obama gave his lies and indignities. So I said, oh boy, we are really in such a state that even if you win and Mr. Smith goes to Washington, Mr. Smith becomes compromised within the first 3 days. So what's new under the sun? Hasn't the country always been functioning like this? I don't know. Has it? Pretty much it has. And then you got people who will hearken back to the founding fathers every day like it was some glorious great time. It wasn't a glorious great time. They were slaughtering Indians. They were robbing and stealing like today. And what are you putting them on a pedestal for? So they had good ideas. Great. We built the country on their great ideas. But what are you putting them on a pedestal? They were ordinary men. They were slaveholders, most of them. Brilliant slaveholders, but they committed many, many crimes and treacheries against each other. How can you make a man into a demigod? So again, that's a dead end. It's a cul-de-sac. So you say, well, okay, then I got to reinvent talk radio because this is pointless. The election is over. The average person doesn't care about politics right now. It's the last thing on their mind. They really don't care. You know, so things are bad all over. And so what? Then you've got a large number of people who think things have never been better because of this great savior of the United States of America. They'll tell you he came along and the economy was on the verge of a 1929 burnout blow-up, and look how he saved us. He saved General Motors. He saved the stock market. He saved the housing market. He hasn't gotten us into another major war. He's kept us out of these wars. In that regard, he's a good president to them. And you say to yourself, well, there's a certain degree of truth in that as well. And then you ask yourself, so why talk about it? Things are going to just keep rattling along, and they're going to go up, they're going to go down. It's going to be the best of times and the worst of times, no matter what you say on a radio show. So it leads you to a quandary. What are you going to talk about with your great audience 3 hours a day? Are you going to arbitrarily scare them every day? Are you going to sit there rattling fright masks at them about government, government, government? Fright masks about Obama, Obama, Obama. Fright masks about Islam, Islam, Islam. Is that what the show has become? Is that what talk radio has become? Fright masks held up to frighten the mass audience? Well, you have to answer that yourself. But I'm at a hiatus in my talk radio career. And I pretty much know where I'm going to go with the show. And that's where I've always gone for the last 20 years. I'm going to go where you want me to go. And I'm going to go into other subjects. I'm going to talk about science. I'm going to talk about museums. I'm going to talk about dogs. I'm going to talk about cars. I am not going to talk about politics unless something hits me over the head that I have to talk about. Because you can get the news as quickly as I can on the internet. What do you need to talk about it for? What do you need to listen to a radio show? Is it just going to repeat something from a website? What, does that make him into a genius? Or he reads a history book that turns him into a historian of any interest, like a bad college teacher in a junior college with a stained suit with a tuna fish sandwich sticking out of his pocket. Who would go to such a lecture? I wouldn't. So I have to do what I can do best. Now, I'm not in an entertaining mood today. I could, you know, go into one of my stand-up comedic routines, but not today. I don't have it in me. My head's not there. But if you need me to be a clown, I'll be a clown for you. If you need to talk about other topics, you can do so by dialing 855-400-7282. I'll be right back on this show to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIM. It is the Savage Nation. And I haven't taken any calls, but at this junction, I have a minute. Let's take a quick call. That's all. Line number 3, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. Fire away. Name, topic, and city.
Hello, Michael. This is Larry in New York City.
WABC. My topic is why the southern border or any border in the United States will never be secure. And may I mention the book that explains that, sir? That is, and it explains it in the title alone, The Late Great USA, The Coming Merger of Mexico and the United States.
All right, thanks for the call. It's 10 years old. Thanks for the plug. I appreciate it. Line number two, next up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, my name is Jerry. I'm calling from Baltimore, and I'm listening to WMAL, and my topic is the economy. I'm a scrap buyer, and steel is at its worst forecast since the recession. And for it to be this early with nobody buying steel, that means that the companies, that their stocks are so high from the QE, that it's all just a house of cards, in my opinion, and it's really looking...
So you agree with me that we're going to have a blowout in the economy. I got an email about this a minute ago. It says, Obama is lying about how badly his sanctions are affecting Russia. Yeah, they're really hurting Putin so badly that he was still able to buy 173 tons of gold in 2014, which was the largest amount they bought since 1993. Obama is a sick, sick liar, and this is exactly what you said, Michael, destroying our country. He is a clown and killing us slowly. I guess you would concur with that.
Absolutely.
Well, there we go. All right. See, I did politics without trying.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is 34 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. We're going to shift gears a little bit, as I suggested earlier. A non-political topic. I say apolitical topic. Saw an article in the New York Post this week, how shacking up leads to divorce. So many of you are diehard political freaks and say, well, who are here? Well, everybody has a relationship of one kind or another at some point in their life. Even political junkies have a relationship, and I'm sure they'd like it to be as stable as possible, right? See, Robert just gave the high five to Jim. Everybody likes this topic. And the question is, how does shacking up lead to divorce? I read the article, and it was very interesting. And it says that if you just move in with somebody before deciding to get married, your chances of divorcing are much higher. And we have with us the man upon whom the study was based, which is Dr. Scott Stanley of the Center for Marital Studies. Dr. Stanley, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So what is it that decides? I love this line of people who move in together are just not making the right decision, that those who make a commitment to a relationship before are deciding, not sliding. What does that mean?
Well, here's what happens. Every, maybe even a couple times a year, you'll see big headlines from social scientists about living together before marriage is no longer associated with increased risk for divorce or problems in marriage, because it had been for so long and everybody understood that in the field. And what's misleading about the finding, and then I get to this key insight about sliding versus deciding, is that finding is generally true if you only ever live together with the person that you marry. So what's becoming really common, serial cohabitation, that's actually associated with higher risk. So if you only ever live with that one person, and if you only live with that person, either you wait till marriage or you're engaged, where you're very mutually clear that you have a future together. And the reason that we think this is the case, me and my colleague Galena Rhodes, is that what people don't understand or don't see about cohabitation, that they're filled with so many stories about how it's beneficial and how it's a smart way to test the relationship. What they're not seeing is something very simple, which is it makes it harder to break up. So all of the things being equal, if you got a couple that's seeing each other and they're thinking about a future and maybe or maybe not heading toward marriage, the couple that moves in together just made it harder to break up. And what we think is there's a subset of people in that group, not everybody.
Wait, let me say, why does it make it harder for them to break up?
Because now we're living together in the same place. We're sharing stuff. We're buying things together. We're mixing our lives together. And if I'm going to break up now, I got more to disentangle. I got to separate. Cohabitation has more inertia, to use a word from physics, than dating without cohabitation. So what a lot of people end up doing that's really, I think, kind of sad is they end up making it harder to break up before, as a couple, they've really decided that they got a future together.
So you've studied relationships for a very long period of time. This is not a fly-by-night, you know, idea of yours, obviously. And your survey of couples married less than 10 years found that men who lived with their wives before marriage, quote, rated themselves considerably lower in dedication. Why? Why is that?
Well, that's the study that really started the stream with that finding about men versus women, and we don't always get the gender difference, but here's what happens. I'm looking at this sample where everybody's married, but I know historically who says they lived together versus who says they didn't live together before marriage. And in these people, that they're, you know, they're all married, but the men in the relationships that said they lived with their wives before marriage were saying that on average they were substantially less dedicated to their wives in their marriage now than the women were. Now, again, we don't always get the gender finding, but that started the insight because I was really thinking about, well, how could that be? How could that be? And the insight finally came, and this came out of a lot of research I've done on commitment over the years, where I break apart the dedication part from the constraint part, you know, the want to.
I love this thing. You put out a video entitled Relationship DUI, Decisions Under the Influence of First Love, which I thought was very clever. And you wrote this. You know how it is in the beginning. You're just living your life, and then wham, you run into your soulmate, and your whole world becomes vibrant. And your video describes the joy-inducing chemicals released into the body at the start of a relationship, from dopamine to oxytocin, and how they can actually cloud our decisions. Sexual activity, you write, increases the production of these chemicals. But even just going out to dinner with someone you're falling in love with can have this effect. And under the influence of these drugs, the video explains, we start doing things that lock us into a relationship. Such as we get a joint cell phone plan, we co-sign a car loan, we adopt a dog together. But then after a few months, when the chemical high wears off, things may look differently. Suddenly you wake up and you realize that you don't really want to be with this person. You write, you acted on the belief that you had a timeless love, but in reality, you had a time-limited chemical high. And now you've made it extremely hard to disentangle yourself. I thought that was very, very brilliant, honestly, Dr. Stanley, because I've never seen it connected that way. I've known about dopamine, oxytocin, you know, when you're into the sexual thing. But I never put two and two together with regard to relationships, and I think you have.
Yeah, and I think it's a really simple insight. So going back to those men and the message in that relationship DUI video that's on YouTube, people can go see it, is some people actually, I think, marry somebody they wouldn't have married had they not moved in together. Because, again, it's a really simple fact. Some people are making it harder to break up before they really understood who this person is, do we have a future together, and is it mutual?
Has anyone done a study? Now, I want to jump to another level. There are communities, small, you know, isolated communities of religious people who do arranged marriages where there's no love at all. They're basically selected based upon family genealogy. And their theory is, and I've spoken with these people in these communities, is that you learn to love someone you're living with. You don't have to love them prior to living with them. Any ideas on that concept?
I can't tell you how good of research there is on that, but there's definitely the basic idea that absolutely happens for some people. So, again, think about these two constructs of dedication versus constraint. Some people do just even start with constraint, like in an arranged marriage, and then the dedication, the devotion to each other develops. But, of course, in the Western world, you know, here that's not what happens. But historically what had happened, at least for, you know, a good long time, is that dedication would kind of fully develop and mature before people would really ramp up on the constraints. And what people are doing now, since they perceive living together as so easy and such a great idea, many people are actually really ramping up on the constraints before dedication has really developed and matured.
You write this. You say people don't assume the way they once did that shacking up is a step on the way to marriage. They don't assume it anymore. They figure they'll live together, and then when they're through with each other, throw each other out of their lives, right?
That's exactly right. And one of the greatest changes, even just in the last 7 years or so, is even 15 years ago, you know, you saw a couple living together, you could pretty well assume they're going to get married. I mean, it was like a clear stepping stone. But a lot of great research in just the last few years has shown that's even breaking down now, where people are increasingly likely to break up and not end up in marriage. And I think what cohabitation is becoming is something I call cohabitating. It's kind of becoming part of dating. Now, people might ask, well, hey, you just said it makes it harder to break up, but then you also said people break up all the time when they cohabit. That's right. The key point, and you're getting the exact point right, is it's that comparison. You're making it harder to break up relative to dating, not cohabiting, but a lot of cohabiting relationships are not ending up in marriage. And some
So in plain English, the old traditional dating, engagement, marriage works better than let's move in together and see how it goes.
It's exactly right, and it works really well because it makes people slow down and look for things they should be looking for before they get locked in.
So you must be attacked by the, for want of a better word, the progressives, for your arguing that, I mean, you know, this is a very political study that you've published.
It's turned out to be pretty amazingly not the case, and I think the reason is, first off, my colleague Galena Rhodes and my other colleague Howard Markman, I'm more conservative, but they're definitely, you know, dyed-in-the-wool deep liberals. But more importantly, the research we've done is very good. We've shown these things and pieces of the theory in study after study. So our work is highly respected in the field. And when you break it down, when you think about the way that I'm putting it, you know, I'm not preaching at people. I'm not shaking my fingers.
Right. In other words, you're not saying, you're not lecturing them, saying God wants you to do this.
Yeah.
What you're saying is, here's what the research shows.
That's right. And we're pointing out something that's actually pretty obvious once you see it, but nothing in the culture right now tells a young person this.
I like the conclusion of the New York Post article entitled How Shacking Up Leads to Divorce, where she writes, the more you can get to know your possible life mate without locking yourself in, the better chance you have of breaking up with the wrong person and finding the right one. This used to be called dating.
There you go. who can argue with that, really? I mean, the logic is pretty brutal and simple.
Relationship DUI, it's a YouTube video, is that what it is?
That's right, it's on YouTube. We put it up earlier this week, and it really explains things very
well. I'm glad I saw this week and decided to have you on. I mean, mainly this is a political show, but this is quite interesting, and who doesn't want a good relationship? Dr. Scott Stanley, thank you very much for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Thank you very much, Michael. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. And by the way, this couldn't be a better time for the ad, because I'm telling you right now, Valentine's Day is this weekend and time is running out. You want a good relationship? Well, don't give yourself a headache shopping for a gift. Just keep calm and bury on with Shari's Berries. Really, I'm serious about it. Why don't you give us something better than the typical box of chocolates? You can get that anywhere, right? But nobody I've ever met doesn't love freshly dipped strawberries from Shari's Berries, starting at only $19.99. And it's over 40% savings. You go to berries.com, you click on the microphone, and you type in my name, Savage. And for my listeners, listen to me, you can double the berries for just 10 bucks more, but you must use my name, Savage. So I'm salivating right now because I haven't had lunch, but these berries are so delicious. When I ordered them, I don't even eat sweets. I ate one, I knocked off the whole box in a day. Everybody loves Shari's Berries. That's why I love them as a sponsor of the Savage Nation. What a Valentine's Day deal, starting at $19.99, double the berries for 10 bucks more. But you have to go to berries.com or call 866-FRUIT-02. You click on the microphone in the top right, you type in my name, Savage. Write it down, go to berries.com, click on the mic, and enter my code Savage. Order it today and get the best deal possible and keep your relationship going, guys. Or girls, for that matter. If you like your guy, why don't you get him berries? Who says it has to be a one-way street? That opens up one line at 855-407-2822. And we can do politics now. We can go back to Vikings, invasion. We can go to any topic that you want. Lifestyle choices. Line number 6. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
I'm Daniel. I'm calling from KSFO from Oakland, California. I just want to let you know that I listen to your show while I work for a 96-year-old World War II veteran, and I cook for him, and I enjoy your show while I cook for him, and I'm making homemade oxtail soup, and I just wanted to say that.
Oh, I want that oxtail soup. My mother, God bless her, used to make it.
Yeah, and I work for a Chinese man, and he tells me to make him something, and he shows me how to make it, and I make it for him from now on. But
How old is this man?
96 years old.
And he's eating oxtail soup. I guess the nutritionist would say he should have been dead 40 years ago.
Well, I also cook him a balanced meal. He still drives. He still does his own shopping, pays his own bills.
What would you say he owes his longevity to? If you were you must analyze these things as a chef.
Yes, I would say personal experience, having friends, going out. He worked as a dentist for 62 years. He served as a dentist during the war. I am very thankful and grateful for my life for serving for him. I feel like I'm...
Oh, wait, I missed... He worked as a dentist for all of his life?
Yes, and he worked as a dentist captain in the war. And he's...
Oh, so he's Chinese-American, 96 years old. You're still cooking things like oxtail soup. What other traditional ethnic foods do you make for him that the American medical establishment would have said, oh, boy... That stuff's bad. It'll drive up his cholesterol and he'll die. What else do you make from that's on the high cholesterol side? I bet he eats a lot of organ meats.
Last week I made him homemade spare ribs. I cooked...
Oh, I'm going to go out and have some tonight. I love them, but I'm afraid to eat them.
And then the other thing I like to make to him is traditional Chinese is seaweed soup. It's really good for him.
Oh, all the iron. All the iron.
Yeah, I really am.
But where do you get the seaweed from? How do you know it's from non-polluted waters? Can you tell?
Well, what I found out was we go to this market called 99 Ranch Market, and this Asian woman helped me. I had to ask her, and she said, "Here, take this." And there's these little dried seaweed things, and you put them in water, and they expand, and they cost.
So even if it has some pesticides or toxins, it doesn't affect them negatively. It's the seaweed that overrides it all in that regard.
He drives. He curses when someone cuts him off.
Oh, my kind of guy.
He is there like as sharp as a button. And when I mess up or if I don't do something right, he tells
me. I love this conversation, but I got to take a quick break. You got to stay on the phone. I want to ask you other questions like about his sex life and marriage. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. So I shifted gears. Now, where is this gentleman we're talking to? Line 6, fire away. Was this 96-year-old gentleman ever married?
Yes, he's been married twice. He's been married this last time for 40 years. His wife has been passed away now for about 6 years. He's been on his own actually up until he turned 96 when he fell, and that's when I started working for him.
But does he go to Chinese restaurants? Does he eat out in restaurants or all home cooking?
All home cooking.
All his life like this, or he used to go out?
I think he goes out maybe like once or twice a year with his wife for like an anniversary or things like that, but... Since he's been on his own, I've only gone out with him since I've worked for him once.
Well, I can't ask personal questions about him. He could just be one of those survivors who's lucky, but you're feeding him stuff that the American Medical Association would say requires Lipitor. And so, I bet he's not on such drugs, is he?
No.
No, doesn't eat and eats oxtail soup. And my mother ate brains, oxtail soup, liver. She lived to 88. She'd still be alive if it wasn't for the surgeon who killed her. Thanks for calling. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
What is this, Thursday on The Savage Nation? I guess I can't wait for Rock and Roll Friday. All right, break this record. Let me hear Tossin' and Turnin' by Bobby Lewis. Let's see if that's any better. It is 6 minutes and 44 seconds after the hour. I was very political in hour one. I even went into the history of the Vikings, their invasion of England, and the conquest of England. And I asked about the conquest of America and where are the warriors of this nation to stand up to the Democrat, Socialist, Islamist government. With the history of the Viking invasion of England as a background, I thought that was pretty good. And then I shifted gears entirely, and towards the end of hour two, in the last hour, if you missed it, I had a psychology professor on who said shacking up usually leads to divorce at a much higher rate than selecting a mate, you know, dating slowly, getting to know the person, etc. So certain things don't really change, do they? And now we turn to michaelsavage.com, the one-stop shop for the headlines that I find intriguing. White House omits Jews as ISIS targets in war proposal. Obama called the Paris kosher deli attack random. Remember that one? White House omits Jews as ISIS targets in war proposal. You hear that? Well, we all heard about that. He recognized the ISIS attacks on Muslims. They were first. On Christians and others, including the Yazidis, Turkmens, but he said nothing about Jews. I wonder why. Why does Obama have such a thing against Jews in Israel? How'd that happen? It was the Jews who put him in office originally. Yeah, look into it. I'm not saying it just to be insulting. I happen to know for a fact that this unknown congressman from Illinois was selected by the giants of Hollywood. They're the ones who bundled the money. They're the ones who packaged him. They're the ones who made him what he is, and they made him president. I don't understand it. As Jews depart, European civilization dies. Investors.com. They say it's a demographic curiosity. As Jews depart, European civilization dies. It sounds like some kind of mysterious demographic whodunit. The case of the missing Jews. Except it's no real mystery. After years of hostility, both at the government and personal level, declining fertility rates and growing emigration, Jews now make up their smallest share of Europe's population in hundreds of years, according to a new report from the Pew Research Center. Now you say, well, I'm not Jewish. What do I care? What do I care about the Jews? Let them all leave. I don't care. I'm nothing for them or against them. Well, you better think about it. Because in addition to the bagel, the Jews of Europe produced Kafka, Freud, Zweig, scientists, inventors, industrialists, intellectuals, musicians, and artists over the last 200 years in Germany alone would run into the hundreds, if not thousands. The same is true of Eastern Europe, France, Britain, Italy, among other nations. So it's a full-blown tragedy. But why are the Jews leaving? Recent murders in Paris, attacks on synagogues, ongoing attacks in the streets by Muslims on Jews, by radicalized Islamist thugs, have made Jews of Europe feel vulnerable. So Jews are departing from Europe to Israel, Canada, and the U.S. And that's a very interesting story that Obama knows this, and yet he hasn't even mentioned them as a minority that's being attacked by the Muslims. Muslims. No, he has a soft spot, but that's understandable. Obama's father was not Jewish. He was Muslim. I mean, I'm sorry. You know, it's a naked statement. It's like, oh, God, what did he just say? That's like drawing air over a tooth. A toothache. Yeah, his father was not Jewish. His adopted father was not Jewish. His father was a Muslim. His adopted father was a Muslim. So he attacks Jews and Christians, or let's say looks the other way and covers for Islam. Why? Because that's his inclination. That's one story. Don't call me on this. I'm just saying. Just noticing. Dog finds cancer-stricken owner in hospital. Another sniffer. I hope Teddy doesn't. He's very close to me. I hope he doesn't start woofing at a certain part of my body. Loyal dog Sissy runs away from her home, travels 20 blocks, turns up inside hospital, and sniffs out her cancer-stricken owner. What? Sissy, the miniature schnauzer, disappeared from her Cedar Rapids home. She had never run away before, but turned up 20 blocks away at the hospital. You see, the owner, Nancy Frank, had been at the Mercy Medical Center for 2 weeks. Security found the dog in the hallways and used her tags to call home. No one knows how the dog found her way to the hospital. That's amazing. Undergoing surgery for ovarian cancer, it remains a mystery how the dog managed to find her way back to her beloved mom. Oh, that's touching. That's sweet. Look at her wandering around the hospital halls. Security eventually spotted the dog walking up and down the hospital halls. Huh. And she was looking for her owner. That's really amazing. How does a dog do it? 20 blocks away? She could sniff out to the hospital? How is that possible? The dog wound. Oh, that's a touching story. It's on michaelsavage.com from the dailymail.co.uk. That's something. They're really loyal. I mean, man, a dog is man's best friend. We know that. But this is something else. You know, when the world gets nastier and more horrible by the day, sometimes I look down at the dog. I lay on the rug with him. I look at him and I say, God, you know, I mean, they're so innocent. He's a little one, this one. They need protection all the time. They could be killed in a second by a big dog. I lost a dog once in front of my eyes. I couldn't do a thing. You know that? If you're an owner of a small dog, which is very popular right now, trust me, don't be naive. Don't walk around thinking the world can't hurt your dog. Big dogs can kill your dog right in front of your eyes. Oh, don't worry. He's friendly. How many times have you walked around with those mean-faced, clipped-haired women with their killer dogs on those leashes? They sniff your crotch. You're standing there shivering that he's going to emasculate you. Oh, don't worry. He's friendly. Yeah, all right. That's why you got him. You got him because he's friendly. That dog could rip your dog out from under your arms and kill it in front of your eyes. Certain breeds should be, not bred. There are breeds of dogs that shouldn't be on the planet. And I'm going to stop right there, not go to the next species that I'd like to talk about. But nevertheless, here we are in the Savage Nation. And we're no Vikings anymore. Remember the song, There's No England Anymore? Well, I would say there's no Vikings anymore. Look what happened to Denmark. Imagine their ancestors were Vikings. Look at them today. What happened to the Vikings? Where are they? How did the Danes let the country be overrun by Islamists? They're afraid to go into neighborhoods in their own country. What happened to the Viking descendants of Sweden, Denmark, Norway? Look at these countries like sad sacks. You see, the socialist governments, first they intimidated the population with laws and regulations. They like wrapped them up in regulations. They're like Obama and the liberal Democrats have done here going back many, many, many decades. In this country, they intimidate you with hate crimes laws, with speech laws. You know, if you say what you really believe, you're afraid you'll get arrested or lose your job or not get into a university or get thrown out of a class or the rotten teacher will give you a D or an F if you hit him with the real facts. That's the way of destroying the Viking in all of us, you see. At least that's one man's opinion. Pardon me. Am I not entitled to it? Let's see what else is in the news that you really care about. I don't want to talk about that. Here's a little quote on my website from Stalin. It's not who votes that counts, it's who counts the votes. Joseph Stalin, Soviet revolutionary communist, all around bad guy. It's not who votes that counts, it's who counts the votes. Now you know why Eric Holder and Barack Obama have spent 6 years trying to stop us from voter ID laws. You get it? Put two and two together, idiot. You'll figure it out. Oh, he's not wearing red hats with red stars. No, no, no. They're nice guys in white shirts and business attire. That's who they are. But you want voter ID laws in your state to make sure that illegals don't vote, to make sure that people don't vote three times, to make those eligible to vote. Well, you must be a racist. See what I mean by regulations that destroy your natural protective instincts? Here's another story of how lawyers have destroyed us. I'm not saying you should. I got to find this story. I don't know if I can. It's about a guy who saw a guy taking pictures of his kid in England. It was an ex-boxer. He gave the guy a punch in the nose and killed him. And they found child porno on the photographer's camera, by the way. Didn't matter. The guy's being charged with murder. Here it is. I'm showing you what happens to people when you let lawyers take over your country. When you let rats like at the Southern Poverty Law Center, run by the most despicable vermin, with law degrees you've ever seen, where they take a wonderful American like Dr. Ben Carson and call him a terrorist because he's against gay marriage. You understand what I mean, don't you? You finally put two and two together, Mr. Viking? Here's one. Dad sees man filming young daughter in restaurant and things turn deadly. Right? A British dad is likely to find that he's being charged with murder after reportedly killing an alleged pedophile who had filmed his young daughter at a seaside resort. Despite the fact that 43-year-old Sandro Rotman had been charged with possession of pornography laws, with pornography, days before. He was still lounging on the beaches, anyway, of Spain's Costa del Sol, where he lived. When protective dad Kenneth Davinder, 40, who also lived in the area, reportedly caught him taking video of his young daughter, he snapped and allegedly killed the victim with his bare hands. When Davinder ordered him to stop filming his daughter, the man reportedly refused. Davinder, who used to be a boxer, then punched the alleged pedophile in the head and left the restaurant. He then found child pornography on the iPad and blew his stack and punched him. Rotman later died in the hospital. It's easy to say that the father, Davinder, should have kept his cool and let the justice system take care of Rotman. Yeah, but hey, the justice system. With lawyers from NYU, there is no justice system. Are you kidding me? With lawyers like in San Francisco? The perverts here run the city. What are you talking about? The leather parade. That's Nancy Pelosi, the Catholic grandmother, said it's her values. You hear that? Remember that? When someone said, how could you be in a parade like that with a leather parade, with naked men whipping each other? She said, it's part of my values of this city. So then that's what happens when you take the law in your own hands. Leave it to the lawyers. Leave it to the judge. Yeah, they're honest. Yeah. Bring the perv before the judge. He'll take care of him. Put him on the city council. Or make him the principal of a school or the head of a Boy Scout pack. That's all. That's the society you live in. So you wonder why the Vikings are dead. There's no Vikings anymore. Let's see, what else can I talk about? Oh, so the news, trying to give you the news in different ways. Doubtfully knew he would kill the man, and the tragedy is that now his dad of three will probably end up in prison. No excuse for Davinder to have killed a man, even if he did have child porn in his pad? Oh, really? The writer says, we don't live in medieval times, and you've got to let the justice system take its course, or we'll have complete anarchy. You mean we have no judicial anarchy right now? We're perverted judges in black robes, let pervs out every day of the week to do it again and again and again? Who do you think they are in the black robes? They're all like clean as the driven snow? What, do you think they used to have a law degree and they sit there with a robe on? That the justice is blind? Justice can be a deviant just like the deviant that he's supposedly judging. That's all. So people take the law in their own hands, which is, of course, not arguing for it. I wouldn't do a thing like that. Never. I do remember, though, thinking back when my kids were young, there was a perv at a bus stop. The camera was going click, click, click. And a woman I know ran after him and grabbed his camera and threw it in the street and almost beat him up. Yeah, I remember that. She saw the perv with the camera hanging down from his arm. Click, click, click. Those were the early days. Then now they don't even hang the camera and hide it in San Francisco. Now they go up to you and take a picture of your child and laugh at you if you say a word to them because they live in Nancy Pelosi's backyard. Yeah, this woman got mad. She saw the div take the picture at the bus stop as she was getting off with a young child. She heard it click, click, click. That was before digital, you know, when they clicked. She ran up and said, what are you doing? He tried to run away. She chased him down, grabbed the camera, smashed it on the ground, and lucky she didn't kill him. Bah, but those were the days, my friends. You thought they'd never end. Am I running out of time again? It's hour number 3. It's the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-400-7282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Who's going to make the song There's No U.S. Now? When is that coming? Which one of our musicians would have the nerve to try to get that published by Katzenberg, Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, and Ratzenberg? Oh, they're not in the record business, sorry. They're in the movie business. I try to think about when did it all start to come apart. It's ridiculous. It's too complicated. In plain English, empires come and go. It's that simple. Our empire's time has come, and it's on the wane. And that's people who know history know that. Nothing lasts forever. You say, oh, come on, don't give up so fast. Things don't disappear overnight. It's not like tomorrow there's going to be no America. I mean, there's still a Portugal, isn't there? There's still a Portugal. They live behind 50-foot walls in estates. Lisbon's nice, the land of Madeira wine. So we'll still be, I mean, there'll still be an America. You just won't look like this. I don't know what the language will be in 100 years. God knows. I don't know whether you'll be going to a church or it'll be a mosque. It's hard to say. The church could be turned into a mosque. Look at France. You know, it's funny. Brigitte Bardot, the sex pot of the 50s. animal rights activist of the 60s, started to warning France in the 70s that the Muslims would take over France. She said the churches are being turned into mosques. There are neighborhoods you can't go into. You know that she was fined for a hate crime? Oh, she was once like the greatest movie starlet. The minute she started speaking about the truth to the socialist fascist government of France at that time, they fined her for a hate speech. So I try to tell you how nations die. It's the lawyers. God darn it. Don't you understand? These cowards with law degrees, they kill us all. They kill us all. They ensnare us in their legal traps. Not for the betterment of society. Not for the betterment of America. Not for the betterment of business. Look at these vermin called class action lawyers. By any measure, they should be lined up and stripped of every dime they stole. Their daughters should be ripped out of college and made to clean toilets in China. What these class action vermin do. You take a successful business, these rats rip it apart on false lawsuits. That's a law profession for you? Not for me.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I've been studying the lost world of the Vikings because they once were dominant warriors and then they disappeared. I mean, there are remnants of Viking peoples in the nations of Scandinavia, but are they Vikings when they've been overrun by barbaric hordes that they took in for God knows what reason? The barbaric hordes they took in under the guise of multiculturalism and liberalism are fundamentally driving them out of their own countries. And if you read the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle, which is an ancient text in translation, here's what you'll read. Anglo-Saxon Chronicle, the end of the world. In this year, there were immense flashes of lightning and fiery dragons in the air. And a little after that, the raiding of heathen men destroyed God's church in Lindisfarne, Anglo-Saxon Chronicle. On June 7th, 793 AD, a group of violent criminals landed on the holy isle of Lindisfarne off the northwest coast of Britain. Without warning, they attacked the monastery, snatching priceless Christian artifacts for their value in precious metals. They killed some of the monks. They took some monks away as slaves. Many they drove out naked and loaded with insults, and some they drowned in the sea. Heathen men destroyed God's church. And news spread throughout the Christian world. The Christian world was shocked beyond belief, because nobody could have dreamed of attacking a church or a monastery. It would have been thought of as a hellish crime. But now, suddenly, fear reigned in England. No coastal community could regard itself as safe. Even as far south as what is now in Germany, the terrified Anglo-Saxon monk Alcuin summed up the terror of the Christian community which had believed itself to be safe from harm. Listen what he wrote. It is some 350 years that we and our forefathers have inhabited this lovely land, and never before in Britain has such a terror appeared as this we have now suffered at the hands of the heathen. Nor was it thought possible that such an inroad from the sea could be made. You hear? So then this German wrote that this was not merely an act of vicious criminals, but a sign predicted in the Bible of the approaching end of the world. And he cites Jeremiah, where he says, "Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land." And for the next 200 years, Europe shivered in fear at the approach of the terrifying men from the north, soon known by their more famous name, the Vikings. I'm looking at the history of the Vikings and how they came out of nowhere and these raiding parties attacked England and stole the treasures of the holy churches, killed the brothers, took other monks hostage as slaves, drove some of the monks into the seas, and the Vikings scared the life out of the Anglo-Saxons. They had been there for 350 years, and they weren't ever attacked like this. They don't know where these warlike people came from. And where did they come from? Where did the surprise attack come from? Never before in the history of the world have the demographics of a nation been changed without a war and conquest. Let me repeat that for those of you who are ignorant of your own history. What is going on in front of your eyes right now is the most radical change of demographics this nation has ever seen. And never before in the history of the world have the demographics of a nation been so rapidly altered without a war having been fought and lost and the invaders populating the nation. So let's speed up the history. They came and they conquered the Vikings and then they disappeared from history soon after 1066. But where did they go? Where did these Viking raiders go? There were 200,000 of them who left Scandinavia during the Viking Age, who became the raiders, the Viking raiders, that caused all of the trouble for the Christian world. But where did they go? Well, it's an interesting story. They settled the territories they had once terrorized. They became farmers. They married local women. And they had children that grew up speaking the local language. And within only a few generations, most children of the Vikings identified themselves as English, Normans, or Russians, but not as Vikings. When you see blue eyes and blonde hair, understand there's probably Viking blood. You understand that? Check it out. And the Vikings then became nominally Christians. And instead of attacking the church, they became the warriors who defended the church. The Vikings then were transformed into crusaders, follow the bouncing ball. And they were no longer aggressive against Christianity, but they were now the crusaders against the enemies of Christianity. And some Scandinavians, they were former warrior stock, became Jerusalem farers, fighting in the Holy Land. But many of these men took part in the Baltic Crusades, which were military operations against areas of what is now Poland, Latvia, and Lithuania. But let's not get off the track. Where are the Vikings today? Well, their descendants still exist today. Genetic surveys and analysis still see heavy concentrations of Norwegian genes in the north of England, Scotland, and the Scottish Isles. Did you know the royal families of Europe, including the rulers of England and Norway, still count the likes of Harald the Ruthless and Olaf the Stout among their ancestors? It sounds very romantic, doesn't it? But what about America? Do we have Vikings amongst us? Yes, we certainly do. Toward the end of the 19th century, emigrants were leaving Scandinavia for the New World, and many of them settled in the northern United States because the northern United States, particularly Minnesota, reminded them of home. The lakes and the forests of Minnesota appealed to many of Swedish or Norwegian origin. And that's an interesting point. And you should know that. Scandinavians began to develop a sense of pride, not in being the descendants of various Norwegians, Swedes, Danes, and Finns, but in being connected to the Vikings. Did you know that? So where did they go? Well, there's a Viking spirit still left amongst American people. There was much more to the medieval Scandinavian achievement than mere raids and murders. They had a great spirit of exploration, the Vikings did. Did you know that the Bering Strait between Alaska and Siberia bears the name of a Danish-Swedish explorer named Vitus Bering? And did you know that Aldrin Crater on the Moon bears the Swedish surname of the pilot of the Eagle Lander, Edwin Buzz Aldrin? So the Vikings still exist amongst us genetically. The genetic remnants of this warrior people still exist. And yet they seem to be amongst the most liberal of our subpopulations. Isn't that strange? They bring in Somali refugees into their cities, and the next thing they wake up to is the Somali community is demanding immersion in Somali culture and language. They leave a hellhole, and the first thing they want is to recreate the hellhole in Minnesota. Why is that? Why didn't they want to become Americans? How is that possible? Why would the Viking peoples, the descendants, be so liberal? How is that possible? Here are some questions for the Savage Nation. Are you worried about how vague Obama's war proposal was? Do you think 3 years is going to be enough to stop ISIS with how Obama is planning on fighting them? What a loaded question that is, huh? Why are most in the media attacking Netanyahu? Why are Jewish congressmen and senators attacking Netanyahu? Let's see what else. Oh, there's good news. Ceasefire in Ukraine. I don't believe it's going to hold. I don't believe it's going to hold at all. I think it's just a temporary stop in the heavy artillery, but, you know, it's a standard tactic here. This is not going to work. Vladimir Putin says the leaders agree on deal for Ukraine ceasefire. Thank God McCain and Albright, the warmongers, the war criminals, weren't able to trigger World War III quite yet. Thank God Madeleine Albright, who tried to start a war with Russia. Listen to this lunatic. This psychotic destroyed America when she was Secretary of State in her bombing campaign against Serbia in order to detach Kosovo from Serbia, a part of Serbia since the 1300s. Now this meddlesome lobbyist for China has the nerve to fly back every time there's a war or rumors of war to see if she can make some money off it. Listen to clip 17.
I hope that the president, as he reviews all these issues, does see the value of letting the Ukrainians defend themselves. But I also understand the difficulty of making the decision because the Russians are clearly...
shut up, you Yenta, you. How did a Yenta like you ever move up in politics? A brisket from you would have been the most you should have produced in your lifetime, Madam Albright. You should have stayed in Georgetown and made your brisket and practiced your briskets and pastrami's. Here's a woman who was picked, I think, by Clinton to be Secretary of State. She went to war with Serbia to steal Kosovo from the Serbs. Now she wants a war with Russia, the brisket maker. But where does she speak? Where does she get to expound her hatred and her war criminality? Where? MSNBC. Why has the Microsoft NBC... Remember, MSNBC means Microsoft NBC. Why, you keep saying, why does NBC permit this kind of psychosis to seep out of the vampire's mouths? Sharpton, why is he still on the air when they dumped this guy Williams? Why didn't they throw Sharpton off for the tax evasion and the lies? You have to ask yourself why. Now, why does Microsoft under Bill Gates permit this to go on? You say he has no direct control. Like heck he doesn't. It reflects on Microsoft to let Al Sharpton continue to spew his madness and hatred. Senate confirms Ashton Carter as next Defense Department Secretary. You say, well, who's he? Why do I? Well, let's put it to you this way. More of the same. If you liked a shrunken military, if you liked the destruction of our most offensive weapons, if you liked our nuclear stockpile being torn apart, if you liked the movement of women who are incompetent to the highest levels of the military, if you like women who can't fly running the Air Force, if you like women who can't drive a rowboat running the Navy, then you're just going to love Ashton Carter. Let's see what else is in the news. Philadelphia to host Democratic National Convention. I can't wait to see the number of rapes and robberies that occur amongst the delegates as they wander around drunk in the streets of Philadelphia as a result of their liberal policies. But, okay, what else? We're on the road to becoming South Africa at a slow level. Oh, yeah. Every day it seems more and more like the prelude to what happened in South Africa. The taking away of rights to a certain group of people, or from a certain group of people. Restriction on certain movements. Spying on certain segments of the population. The only thing missing is the seizure of property under this Democrat, Socialist, Islamist government. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Breaking news on the Savage Nation. As this hour comes to a close, we have bad news for you. A day after the phony president announced his phony war against the very real Islamic maniacs, Islamic maniacs are very close to seizing an air base in Iraq where our Marines are present. El Al-Assad Air Base is where 320 U.S. Marines are stationed, training Iraqi forces. 13 minutes from there is a city called Al-Baghdadi. The entire city of Al-Baghdadi has fallen to the Islamic State maniacs. A Defense Department girl confirmed to Fox News that heavy fighting took place in that area today, but would not talk about the airbase itself. She said it's nothing to worry about. When asked why the military doesn't bring out the aircraft, she said it's really not necessary. that it's no threat to the airbase. Because in order to get to the airbase, said the spokesgirl, they'd have to go through the perimeter. And they may get through it, but once they got through it, they'd be vulnerable to airstrikes. Now, the question is why this great commander-in-chief, who is now in San Francisco raising money at the homes of billionaires while talking about impoverished people, has not unleashed the Air Force on the Islamic State maniacs as they encircle our 320 Marines. I guess you can pretty much figure this out by now. Headline fighters, by the way, this is interesting. Not Islamic fighters, not Islamic maniacs. This is Fox News' headline. Fighters reportedly seize Iraqi town near base holding U.S. Marines. That's courtesy of Fox News. Why is Fox News now sanitizing the word Islamic? Have they gotten a memo from one of the girls who runs the country? We'll have to wait and see. Phone number here is 855-407-282. Let's go to the caller's line number 2. Fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Savage, that was a wonderful speech about the Vikings, but I gotta spit out the fact that the Viking blood is still strong, it's still true, it's still proud, and it exists. And we're here in America, those of us that are descendants of the Scandinavian culture, and those in Scandinavia, and those in Sweden and Norway and Denmark and Finland, they'll uprise and they'll fight back against those Somali Muslims, insane maniacs. It's there. It's a pathetic
weakness. Yeah, but my point was not that the Vikings are not here. I was trying to incite the Vikings to rise up. I was trying to awaken the Vikings to their proud heritage. I was trying to awaken all of the other men with a proud heritage to stand up to the lawyers who have ensnared us. That's what I was trying to do.
Yes, and that's we praise you. Thank you, Savage. You're the best. That's right. Viking power.
Yeah, somebody's got to be the leader. I'm not a Viking. I'm a mere talk show host. A humble talk show host with a 10-pound poodle who sits and watches the world go by. And I ask myself, Teddy, every day, how did a once proud nation fall victim to a group of deviant lawyers who have spent their every waking minute trying to figure out how to disempower the people who built this nation, the descendants of those who built this nation? How did they do it? How did they get away with it on a daily basis? How do they tell a parent who sees what's being done to their children in the government schools, shut your mouth, go along, we'll do what we want? If we want to dress them up as Muhammad, we'll dress your Christian child up as Muhammad. If you want your little girl to wear a burqa for a day, go to hell, we'll put a burqa on her for the day. And you do nothing. Where are the women? Where is the rage of the women? I don't understand it. I don't understand what happened to the country. I pretty much do understand what happened. But I'm trying to awaken you to your own energies, your own powers, and the fact that you are still the majority. You can take this country back. All you need is a leader. And you don't have it in Boehner, do you? No, he's not the leader of the new Viking revolution in America, is he? Good night and God bless America. This is the Savage Nation. Hope you enjoyed it.